Breeze under center, drops back, he fakes, he's going to throw into the back corner of the end zone. Caught! Keith Kirkwood!
They're marching in, and you know their name, because we're all getting ready for the big game. Got football fever and our boys to blame.
Say who?
Say you, them Saints to blame. We got that spirit and you know that means the Saints are marching for New Orleans. We're keeping the faith, filling the stands, cheering the boys and clapping our hands.
Say clap, cheer,
cause the boys are here.
Let's all give the Saints a cheer.
Bless you, boys.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Divisional Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drink skill rating is a zero, and I am not drinking tonight. I don't know if anybody is, but I will say, the rocky start to the game gave Saints fans in the Dome and around the world a lot to be worried about. It felt as though everything that could go wrong would go wrong, but the faithful confidence in Sean Payton's aggressive play calling and the 2018 Saints team confidence in themselves would ultimately pull us out of that first quarter slump. And as he has done so many times during the regular season, Taysom Hill poured the much-needed kerosene on the fire that ignited a blaze that would last the rest of the game, where the offense did just enough, while the defense delivered nothing short of total and complete domination, not allowing the Eagles to get close enough to even try a field goal. There is much to celebrate, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
My number is zero. I am not drinking anything today. I'm recovering. Today is a big day of recovery.
Yeah, right. That's true. And Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Relieved. Very relieved.
Feels with relieved. Excited. Jubilated. Ready to talk about it in the game recap. How do you want to start this? Do you want to just ignore the first quarter, or?
Well, we could talk about the lead-in. It was cold as fuck yesterday. You know, ate lunch with some friends at noon. But, you know, the lines to get in were long. That's one thing I noticed getting in there. The lines for everything seemed longer. Bathrooms, drinks, everything. Even though, I mean, I don't know that they crammed that many more people in there, but...
No, but they're all drinking more, so they got to pee more.
Yeah, those bathroom lines were really long.
All right. So what was the pre-game atmosphere in and around the Dome like? Damon, when did you get there?
I don't know. We made it into the Dome about 3:15, I guess. We go in through a different entrance than Jason. I mean, so it was quick. I felt like they actually did the, you know, Dome staff was ready and prepared, and everything was easy. And man, just the atmosphere was electric. This is a couple of times we've said it this year. Just wow! Just everybody was so excited. The crowd was amazing. The crowd was amazing. And
on the whole time, huh?
Well, yeah, the whole time. I mean, the buzz. I mean, maybe a little, you know, late in the first quarter, it kind of. You know,
Mine dropped to a 9.
Right, but they had Shanley, Bush, Vilma, Hartley. I didn't see Vegeta, but I saw Shanley. But they came out and did the Houdat, you know, led the Houdat chant. That was the loudest Houdat chant so far.
Yeah, and Richie came out the tunnel too, like a song. Like, who was that in a white jersey coming out the tunnel?
Yeah, oh, Reggie loves this. Reggie misses this. You know, Reggie misses being.
I love how on he that runs out the tunnel. Team. Like, he has anything to do with this year,
right? It don't matter. Hey, look, he's a Saint. You know,
yeah,
the Saint for life. It was just magic, man. This is why you go to games. This is, you know, people say, "Oh, I sit on my TV and watch it on my big screen," and yeah. Fuck you. You're missing it, man. You know, I'm glad you're enjoying it, but you can't compare it to being in the stadium. You can't. It was.
So was magic. Everybody, I mean, was it confidence, arrogance, cockiness, nervousness before the game started? Like, what would you say? It was a buzz and everybody was ready. Was it this, like, there's no way we're losing this game?
I mean, I would say it was confident. I think people are excited to what, you know. Me personally, and I don't know how y'all felt, but you know, all week long you just kept hearing all the Eagles and
Yeah.
You know, Foles and da-da-da-da-da. So I was nervous coming in, you know, and I was worrying about rust arrest. And I thought we had talked about this last week, and we'll get into it a little bit later. But no, the one thing I did notice that was nice, very, very few Eagles fans.
Really?
No, compared to if it would have been Dallas.
Or even compared to the regular season game that Philly was here.
Right, right.
You know, maybe that's why. Get it.
Maybe that's why. You know, they wasted their money in their last travel. Minute.
Yeah, regular season, you plan it.
Well, like you said, and last minute, you know, you didn't know that you were going to be here till a week ago.
But I remember the year, was it 06 when we hosted Philly? And I was at that game, and it felt like there was a lot of Eagles fans in the Dome for that game.
I'm going to go ahead and say there probably weren't. Now, in fairness, I don't remember.
Right. I don't recall either.
I mean but I can't imagine, especially, look, that was the new regime post-Katrina, and, like, holy shit, not only are we hosting a playoff game, but we got a bye. Like, I feel like
it's probably because
there weren't nearly the it year might before. Have been
that limited perception of I had three of them sitting immediately behind me. And then maybe one or two over there, and it just and the perception being reality, right. You know.
You have to and like Eagles. I said,
that's how the Eagles. Notice,
I took notice, you know, when you know, you're doing this the national anthem, and we're standing up. Like I said, I, you know, scanned the dome, and again, very few Eagles fans. Now there were two sitting about three seats from me across the aisle, and they were. They were very energetic that first quarter. And then they get kind of sat down, looking at their phone, you know.
After that.
Very quiet. Yeah. Very quiet after that.
So, all right, now let's get into the game. Opens up, Drew Brees, deep pass, underthrown. And the interception, but I will say, before you realized it was underthrown, it was kind of like, oh, shit, we coming out, ready to strike, first play of the game. Oh, damn.
And it was really, I think it was just more missed time. Like, if he throws it 2 seconds earlier,
yeah.
You know, and think about it. I mean, the whole, he throws it 2 seconds earlier, it's a touchdown, and the game is completely different. You're up 7-0 on the first play of the game, and the Dome's rocking, and it's just like, okay, that's it. And then, you know, we could end up winning, you know, 38-10 or something like that.
But it was, then they drive down, they score, we get the ball back, and was it that play that we fumbled the snap, and the drive after, it was 3-and-out. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors. It was just, and that maybe, Damon, is that your kind of foreshadowing from earlier where rust to rest?
Right.
Was it knocking off for us the first quarter? We were just a little too rested. Because Brees looked off.
He did, and I thought I'd mention this on the show last week. If I had stopped me, I'm not going to rehash it. But I think it was Shanley or Fajita, or one of them was on the player show a week ago, and they had asked him about rust arrest. And they mentioned the Arizona game back in 09 and said, you know, if you look, I mean, first play of the game, Arizona, Hightower takes it for a touchdown. And then they're moving the ball and they fumble it. And Fajita had said, you know, but you saw in the second quarter, in the second half, our fresh legs become an advantage.
Right.
And if you know, right, if you look.
The Saints the Eagles looked worn out. And I didn't even consider about the whole rest being that a part of it, whereas it just felt like maybe we just, by that point in the game, we just had it on. We had our foot on the gas pedal. After that fake punt, that drive, we never looked back. It was total domination, at least on defense for sure.
On defense, definitely. And look, that play, I mean, the game, I've heard the players say, you know, on the radio today that it was the fake punt where we got the first down. But that Nick Foles first interception in the second quarter, you know, after that, they didn't move the ball. And what had happened also is the crowd had kind of gotten out of it. Then we go down and score, and then when they got the ball back, man, the crowd was in it, and that crowd was loud. That all the TV people I've heard, they've all mentioned, you know, the crowd, the crowd, the crowd in the dome. And last night coming home, they were talking on the radio that they had counted five plays where the noise got to the Eagles. There were a couple of false starts.
Yep.
Some timeouts. You know, I forget the five plays, but they went over them. And, I mean, that's why you want home field advantage. That's why you need home field advantage. If we're on the road and that happens, yeah, I don't know that we come back.
And
but yeah, it was so loud in there.
It was, again, when they were on defense, everybody was screaming and hollering. And they do this little thing at the dome, and I don't know if it's BS or real, but they put a decimal meter up on the big screen when the opponents are on offense.
It's probably BS.
And normally, you know, it goes around 105, 106, maybe 110, 11. Last night it was a 124, 125, you know. So, again, I don't know if it's BS or if it's, you know, if it's a real thing, but it was noticeably loud. So back to the, you know.
Look, you knew it was loud when even people in Damon's section were cheering and yelling.
Everybody
was cheering. I'm surprised anybody showed up. Did y'all stay the whole game, Jason? Did
you see the whole thing? All right. Now, don't turn on each other.
I'm just wondering if Jason saw the whole thing, because Jason don't like to stay for the game. Jason,
I actually, by the time we walked out and went down the stairs, we walked out right behind James Carville was walking down the stairs right in front of us.
What'd he have to say for himself?
Oh,
Oh, that's a goddamn game right now. I'll tell you what.
That's my James Carville impression.
Hey, Bill, your impression of Bill Hader is James Carville.
Bill Hader as Vincent Price as James Carville. No, all right. So then getting into it, speaking of the crowd noise, the defense, who I think is the story of the game. And by, real quick, too, like I think a lot of people might say the narrative of the game was that we overcame such adversity from the 14-0 deficit in the first quarter. But maybe the narrative is actually, if you think about it, if you spread out the Eagles' success throughout the game and then spread out everything, we dominated that game. Three-fourths of the game was the Saints. So there, it wasn't like the Eagles, we barely scraped it by. No, we did enough to win the game, but we dominated them for three of four quarters. So whether that was the first, the second, and the fourth quarter, or whether it was whatever, you know what I mean? So it just because the Eagles' success was condensed to the first quarter, maybe the momentum shifts the way it does, but I don't like the narrative that the Saints almost lost that game. I like the narrative that we dominated that game. We really did. And speaking of domination, the defense held Smallwood to 33 yards.
And it's been the Saints' calling card all year, stopping the run. And Philly doesn't have a great rushing attack.
Well, look, after the first quarter, we had they put the stats on the screen.
Smallwood had 33 yards in the first quarter.
No, Foles was completing like 88.9% of his passes. Breed was at 33%. I think we had 0 yards, or very little. You know, they had 117. And even Douglas said, look, the good thing is those stats will change as the game goes on. You know, I mean, obviously we're not going to play like that for four quarters. And look, by the end of the game, we had 5.7 or 5.6 rushing yards per attempt. Breed's numbers obviously went way up. So yeah, you're right. After the first quarter, call it rust if you want, it was a totally different game. I mean, they had less than 100 yards for three quarters. I mean,
yeah. Well, and isn't that a bit of our defense's calling card as well? Is any team is
success sort of,
will
yeah.
be in the first couple of drives, and then the defense will adjust to that. It's almost like, okay, show us what you're going to do, and then we'll take care of that.
Well, if you notice,
we're not good at game planning for the first. But the Eagles game was good.
In the first quarter, we were playing off the ball. You know, if you look at it, we were really playing off the corners were playing off the ball. And then after that, the corners started playing a tighter man position, and they couldn't do shit.
No.
Yeah, God bless Dennis Allen. You know, right, that first quarter are always, like you said, that's when the other team will have a little bit of success. But
yeah.
All especially right. over the last nine weeks were just incredible. I'm sorry.
So then, right, Foles had, 200 yards passing, 201. So Breeze is 301. Foles had one touchdown, two picks. Breeze had two touchdowns, one pick. A little bit of difference there. So Breeze got once he got on, he was on.
And no, it didn't.
Can we talk about Michael Thomas for a minute?
Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best.
Oh boy. What a man.
Clutch. That touchdown catch.
And all the other catches, like 2nd and 20, no problem. Michael Thomas got it. 3rd and 16, no problem. Michael Thomas got it. Like, even they knew we were going to throw it to him, and it didn't matter. It's amazing. I mean, and, you know, everybody's talking about that drive that really clinched it. You know, because at the end of the half, you know, we got the 10 points. We got all the momentum, stopped them on, you know, forced them to a 3-and-out, and then, you know, an 11-minute drive, 100 and whatever yards because of the damn penalties. but really just choked the life out of him.
You know, well, speaking of Michael Thomas, there's a website called, I don't know how you say it, Spot Track. And it goes over the contracts of the players and all this and, you know, what their market value is. According to them, Michael Thomas's market value should be $20 million a year annual salary. Should be about 5 years, $102 million. Now, luckily, we have him all this year and all next. So he won't be a free agent until 2020. So,
yeah,
by then, Breeze will be gone.
The salary cap keeps rising.
Right. We'll rise. Breeze, you know. But anyway, I just wanted to be talking about Michael Thomas. I mean, it shows the value that we have in him. Like, you know, 179 yards, I believe it was, 12 touches.
171, yep.
171, yeah.
Run. So, and his, salary cap this year is $915,000.
Somebody needs to pay that man a bonus.
That's how you win when you get value, and that is value.
Man, that's a lot of value.
Yeah.
But the game is what it was. We haven't talked about the third quarter, the dominating 11-minute drive, 117 yards on the ground.
Jason, you mentioned that one.
I don't listen to Jason. This is a grinding team. This is a team that grinds the ball. I mean, that kind of, you know, you think about the Saints as this high-flying, you know, 400-yard Drew Brees passing team. Man,
no, that was when we had no defenses.
You're right. You know.
We had a flashy play. Hill to Kamara, and it was called back by penalty.
Yeah. That was on Pete.
Yeah, Pete had a rough game, but then it came out today that he's playing with a fucking broken hand.
Yeah.
He had surgery last week.
And it's like, I'm kind of glad to hear that from the standpoint of, like, okay, there's not a concern for his
life. He didn't just suck.
Right. He had an excuse.
But now it raises a question going forward. Like, you going to stick him out there again? Broken hand at all?
He's fine. We won. He had a couple of penalties, but he's fine. We won with him.
Well,
and the Rams defense is not as good as the Eagles defense.
Yeah, but the Rams defensive linemen are. Yeah, I mean, you got Sue and you got Donald.
That is true.
Well, we'll get to that in game recap, what did you feel about the penalties, especially in the second half of the game?
I mean,
again, especially that drive. I mean, they seemed like, you know, a couple of them they showed on the Jumbotron.
The younger one clearly was ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the other ones, right? It just, you know, unfortunate timing of the penalties negating big plays. Luckily, they were able to overcome them.
Yeah, I didn't walk away from that game feeling like we were wronged. So to the point where it I mean, it didn't sabotage us, and I didn't feel like there was any favoritism in one way or the other as much as other games. But yeah, like Jason said, I think we felt it because it was just the worst possible play. The
timing, yeah, just negating big plays.
Yeah. I mean, you can call holding on every play. I get it. They just chose to call on the big plays. And maybe you want to be a conspiracy theorist. Maybe that was, got to keep this thing close. Saints are about to run away with it.
Especially after the first three games of the weekends were duds.
Yeah. And this was the feature game.
With
Big Dick Nick. Can't embarrass him.
But yeah, I mean, look, yeah, well, like, once we scored on that drive, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, that's it. We're not losing.
You talking about the one to go up 17-14?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, that's it. We're not looking back.
And poor Lutz missed that long, was it 52-yarder?
52, which is weird because
he had the distances.
I mean, right, like when he goes to kick it, I'm like, look, he's one of the best kickers in the league kicking in a dome. You know, it's not a problem for him. Although when he was lining up, I'm like, shit, I think he might actually miss this. Just, I don't know, the way the game was bound to go, it just seemed like, God, he's probably going to end up missing it.
Yeah, well.
Luckily, it didn't come back to bite us, thanks to Alshon Jeffery.
Yes, indeed. And Lattimore, which is a nice, you know what, which is a nice contrast to how the playoffs ended last year, is that we end this game, our next playoff game, with an interception where it should have been against Minnesota. So everybody talking about redemption, and granted, it wasn't Marcus Williams who got the interception, but it was the Saints, and that's fine.
Yeah, look, you know, when we were eating lunch before the game, it's like, look, I don't care how we win. If we win by a point, who gives? Just win and move on.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be pretty. We just need to have more points than them.
And mission accomplished.
So, and I guess, you know, the one bad thing coming from the game is the injury to Rankins.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks. Torn Achilles, like, that sucks. He ain't going to be ready until the second half of next season.
I was going to say, how long is that usually? Like a year or so?
Maybe just under a year. I mean, Okafor tore his Achilles last year in, like, what, October maybe, or early November? And he was, surprisingly, he was back for game one. Now, I think they kind of worked him in, but he was back. So it just sucks because, like, Rankins was having such a good year. As a big player to lose, but fortunately, you know, the guys on the D-line stepped up because he got injured early in the game, and the defense still was able to hold him the rest of the game. You know, they really did a pretty good job. Stallworth came in and played well, so now you got Omenyatta, Stallworth, and Tyler Davidson in there, the 3D tackles. So it stings. It sucks for him, too. Because he was really coming on this year, so
yeah.
Just hope he has a good recovery. He's supposed to have surgery this week sometime.
Oh,
all righty. So,
all right. Well, speaking of moving on, we're going to move on to look at him tweets. So the first tweet, it comes from Davis Douglas. Nice, easy softball for you guys. Have you ever seen the flow of a game change on a dime like that? God bless you, Lattimore.
Yeah, massive fucking game, man. Two picks.
Man, but just to, as low as it was getting, just flipped the switch. And like Damon said earlier, just the crowd got back into it with the 124 on the decibels.
Decibels.
Decibels, yeah. All right, Neil says, speaking to the crowd, he says, I just want to pass on all my gratitude to any listeners who went to the game for bringing the noise and pushing the team over the line.
You're welcome, Neil.
There you go. All right, I wonder if we lost Damon for a minute, or did he mute himself?
No, okay. No, I'm here.
There's nothing to add. All right, next one. This one comes from Aaron King at KingNola1. And I wonder if he's Nick Energy's friend, because he says, I know you don't like us ragging on Sean, But that first play was his arrogance on full display. Yes, we
oh,
won,
shut up.
And yes, we got back. But why do we have to do this over and over? This is why we're always either 11-5 or 7-9. He's got the talent of Belichick, but that arrogance has held us back from being a dynasty. Wins don't need to be entirely based on luck. Anyways, glad we won. Hopefully he learned something.
Yeah,
do it again. Go for the juggler. First play.
That's just stupid. I mean, it's the aggressiveness that, you know, it's ambushing the Super Bowl.
Well, how about...
Well, when it's the Super Bowl, it's a going for it on fourth down. I mean, yeah, look, yeah. It's the aggressiveness that wins our success. You know, you're a genius if you make it, you're a fool if you don't.
You know, is that right? I kind of look at it like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You'd rather, you know, that, right, that arrogance that you would not want, that means you would not have done a fake punt. You would not have gone for it on fourth down to get that touchdown, and therefore you would have lost the game. You know who played not to lose? Carl Smith. And what was our playoff record under Jim Mora and Carl Smith?
Who?
Right. That's you know that's also who's calling play for Seattle Seahawks against the Cowboys, right?
All right. Giovanni Turner says the national media keeps referring to the fake punt as a huge risk. But based on everything Taysom Hill has done this year, that might have been a safer play call than an actual punt. So there you go, well, actually, Aaron King. It was a conservative call.
You know, if you look back on it, and Hill, I heard him on the radio last night, he was saying, you know, originally that wasn't the plan, and then they, at the last minute, they called it. And the Philadelphia defense, they didn't go into full punt mode. All they did was change one linebacker with a corner or someone like that. So they did not go into full. They were ready for it. Philly was looking for it. You go back and watch the replay, and that was not a what you would consider a standard punt coverage. Yeah, no, they were ready when the ball was snapped. Their two linebackers there, you know, came in.
I remember thinking as I'm watching how I was like I felt like they needed to go for it, and when they lined up for the punt, I was a little disappointed in the back of my mind. Maybe I was like, well, maybe they'll fake it here, but you got to go for it. I know you're a little deep, but you're down 14-0 in the playoffs at home. This drive has to be successful, and they ended up doing it. So yeah, maybe the Eagles felt the same way. They're like, there's no way Sean Payton is not going to try to get points off this drive.
Right.
So, but imposing your will, there you go. Fresh legs, and you can push it even when they expect it.
I mean, look, we're, like we said, we're aggressive. He's aggressive. So, is anything really a surprise anymore, you know, when we go for it on fourth or fake it, you know?
And haven't we, pretty much every time we've gone for it on fourth, this year, I mean, I would have to say we got to be probably at least 80-90%.
I think somewhere up there.
It's pretty successful this year, more than normal. Okay, Saints Europe comes in, and I copy-pasted this from Twitter, so I don't know if it's if I missed some of it, but this is what I got. I think they were surprised by the Eagles' game plan. That's all. Adjustments made. Boom. Do you think that's part of it? Like, I mean, you have your script, you know, what are we known for? I have 15 or 20 scripted plays, and you got to run through them. And it's kind of like at that point, then we made those adjustments, and that's when things turned around. Same thing with the defense. They had to see what the Eagles were going to do, and then they made adjustments, and they go, boom. I know you guys don't like me talking about halftime adjustments, like you can make them that drastic, but you do react to what the teams are showing you.
I don't think they were surprised by anything they were doing.
Execution.
I mean, yeah, I think so. For some reason, they came out flat, and I didn't see, you know, I just figured they were going to come out really ready to go. Really focused, really locked in. And they weren't, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Had to get that rhythm back. Get that groove back. All right, Michael Wheelahan. That's Wheels, as we know him. Wheels says, Michael Thomas deserved every flex he gave last night. Dude did some work. How salty do you think the Lamb's corner is going to be when Thomas burns that dude's rue all day Sunday?
Well, Well, he already, Marcus Peters already posted a tweet about, oh, it's gumbo week, let's eat, and then he already had to delete it.
Yep. Because Michael Thomas going to burn his roux. I love that. That was a good one, Wheels. Let's. And why would he delete that?
I don't know.
You know, you know why? Because somebody told him, don't give them anything. Don't give them any locker room material. All right. Young Matthias says, Taysom Hill with the dime. Too bad it got called back. I'm worried about Pete hurting us in the upcoming weeks. Now, that this was before we knew about the injury. But going back to that question I think you asked earlier, Jason, I mean, how will it affect us in the next two games?
I mean, I don't know. He's got to toughen up because, like, the Rams, you know, they throw in a lot of mixed pass rushes, so you need good communication on the line. So, I mean, I think we need to throw Pete out there and see what happens. Just hope to God he plays better than he played yesterday.
Well, if you had that surgery, I mean, it was, what, a broken hand, wrist, something?
Broken hand, yeah.
Broken
it
hand.
Happened in week 17.
Week 17, had his surgery, recover, played this week. It might not. He might be fully recovered. I mean, it's just a little broken hand, right? You get your stitches out. You've healed up. You may be done. If anything, it might be psychological.
Could be.
I mean, the only thing you use your hands for as a lineman is to hold, so maybe he should have less holding. Hand can't grip anymore.
Yeah.
All right. El Rosu says, three big plays called, three wide, and that's four eyes, open receivers. Twice short by Breeze to Ginn, then Taysom. Touchdown canceled from Taysom to AK. All great calls, in my opinion. Should Taysom take charge of these or Breeze to target deeper than normal? If he can, too short is the worst. I think all that is essentially to say, should they put Taysom Hill to throw the deep ball?
No.
No.
And not let Breeze throw it deep anymore.
No, look, I think you said it earlier. The first pass to Ginn, and then even the pass later on to Hill by Breeze, and Breeze had mentioned it in his press conference, I think. It had nothing to do with arm strength. It was timing. He either threw it a little later than he wanted to. If he'd have been a second, thrown the ball a second, same depth, same everything, they'd have been fine. You know, it was just, it's more a timing issue, I think, than a deep ball issue. He doesn't have the strength. I mean, I didn't, you know.
All right. Hot Wing Man says, what the hell happened to Pete? We talked about that. He was beat down by Cox.
And now that Fletcher Cox isn't one of the best linemen in the league also.
Yeah, I haven't been that frustrated since Fred Thomas versus Isaac Bruce. So, Cox, I will say, there's a part of me that does wonder. You remember, what was that? There was a drive that it felt like half the Eagles got hurt on. One, every play, somebody else went down. Cox was
Well, that's, I mean, look, Rankins goes off in a cart, and then, like, when they get the ball, or right after that, like, one of their guys goes off on a cart.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of injuries in the middle of that game. And I almost started to wonder, like, you know, do we win that game if not for the Eagles' injuries? Because that
don't
was
care.
Also the well, I
cares.
Know, I agree.
But. Well, I mean, but beside that first Eagles player that went off in the cart, the rest of them all came back in, and I
even Cox, looked, yeah,
right. Bennett came back. Hey, look, and those guys were listed on the Eagles injury report all week long. You know, missed some practice time. Again, that's the, you know, it's attrition. And that's what was nice about having 2 weeks off and letting guys heal, where the Eagles have had to grind it, you know, for 18 weeks now. You know, didn't get the time to rest. And yeah, and it shows. And it showed in the second, third, and fourth quarter of that game. You know, they got tired.
There you go. All right, Big Easy Guy John says, how much do you expect the Sheldon Rankins injury to affect our pass rush? Don't know much about Omanyala. But he has some sacks. We really need to rush the passer to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl against a rejuvenated, revenge-driven Rams team.
Well, and really, we got to stop the run. We got to keep stopping the run. I mean, after what the Rams did last week to the Cowboys.
That's what the Rams, that's who they are. Now, if they want to succeed, it's a run. I mean, I'm just...
It's how we got them the first time, too. We stopped Gurley. And really, that game, in which I'll save it for preview, but yeah, I mean, you've got to... So, I kind of briefed it whenever we were doing game recap. Who stepped in for Rankins last night and...
Stallworth.
That's
I mean, like, Omigata did see an uptick in snaps, but Stallworth also came in and played fairly well.
Okay.
Not Stallpepper.
Dante Stallpepper. So, hopefully, next man up. It's going to have to be. So, all right, next is our segment within a segment, and it features the hero of the fake punt, Taysom Hill. So let's say and, of course, it comes from Greenbaum, who says, Taysom Hill, again, lighting the spark with a fake punt for the first down. Do you think Pete held on purpose on the Taysom touchdown pass in order to protect Drew from losing his job to Taysom Hill? It's a conspiracy theory-themed tweet, and you don't like it. I can tell by your silence. All right. Let's move into a great segment known as Pick'ems. It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
It was pretty great.
Yes, it was.
Although, could have been better. If we wouldn't have bailed on the Kansas City three-way.
Right. Lesson learned.
You know, I mean, everybody was riding these hot teams that were coming off playing well. And even if you look at it, it's like, look, the teams that earned a bye are the better teams to begin with, and they have extra rest to prepare. And it showed.
But there were,
all four home teams won this week.
And there were the spreads were relatively big compared to what we've had all year. We've been having a long stretch of like three and a half spreads, and this last week we came in with a 5.5, 7, 8.5, you know, some big spreads to cover.
Yeah, and they all covered except for the Saints.
Yep.
You know, I just did not see it. I mean, Indy looked terrible.
Which, by the way, Big Easy Gajon is the only one to have taken Philadelphia out of the whole pick'ems.
Smart.
Yep.
So I won the week on 2-2. I had the Rams and the Pats. Jeff and Damon both went 1-3. Damon had the Rams. Jeff had the Pats. Do you remember how Damon thought he fucked me last week by taking the Chargers and leaving me with New England?
Mm-hmm. You went with the winner.
So, Jeff is still in first, 55-36, but now Damon and I are tied at 51-40.
Which means I won Pick'ems.
Yeah, you're guaranteed to win.
All right, in the larger league, who dat fits? Still holding on to first place, followed by Ryan Angier, Life of Ty, Saints Fan UK, and then me, Christian Mino, Big Easy Gaijon, Jason Damon, since you're tied, Saints Europe, Chris McGuire, DJZ, Tom Ensign, Ash, Preston Allen, Davis Douglas, Sands Hobbs, Giovanni Turner, Neil, Gerald Booty, and then Mordecai, who is the only one under 500 with a .484 winning percentage. That is a 44-47 record.
He used to finish 3-0 to avoid being
that's right. Loserville. Come on, you can do it.
Yeah. All right, championship week. Just three games left. We'll start with the AFC game. New England Patriots coming off a really easy win at home. I mean, the final score didn't indicate how badly they just beat the shit out of the Chargers. Ruben, once again, don't ever bet against Brady and Belichick in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
This is now their eighth straight AFC title game appearance, which is just fucking incredible.
I didn't even realize that. As it was, over the last 8 years.
I mean, all these they get the bye and they just have to win the one game to get to the title game. I mean, think about how happy we are. This is just our third total NFC title game.
Well, and that's what I wonder is watching that game, it almost felt like the crowd was just kind of like, eh. I think they are desensitized to it. I think the divisional round for New England is just a formality at this point.
You know, that's what they do every year. They get the bye and they win one game at home and go to the title game.
Yeah.
So they travel to Kansas City to play the Chiefs team, who thoroughly dominated Indy. This is going to be the late game on Sunday, and supposedly it's going to be frigid. It's going to be like about 15 degrees. I don't know that there's going to be any snow this week.
Yeah, but both of these teams are used to playing in that kind of weather, so.
They are. So I'm sure the Chiefs fans will be fired up. Belichick versus Andy Reid. Chiefs are favored by 3.
Chiefs by 3. Wow. All right. This is... Oh, man. There's a part of me that wants the Chiefs to win this game just for something different from the AFC to send the KFC to the Super Bowl. Get it? No. Because they're giving the Patriots the points, I kind of want to take the Patriots, and I will.
Oh. Yeah, I'll take the Patriots, too.
All right. Give me the Sheps.
All right. I mean, I can afford to take who the fuck I want, because yeah. I already won.
You're Big Dick Nicking it, huh?
No, I'm going to win.
Well.
This ain't 2019 or 16.
Right.
17.
And then the early game that day, which I am glad it's the earlier game. It's going to be 2 o'clock. Rams and Saints, you know, Rams dominated. Well, maybe not dominated, but beat the Cowboys pretty handily. And how about freaking C.J. Anderson? Was cut at least once, maybe twice already this year. Comes in and just rumbles for over 100 yards. Like, it's insane. I mean, they rushed for 200-something yards against Dallas's stingy defense. I mean, I did not see that coming. And we're favored by 3.5.
Ooh, Saints by 3.5? All right, well, since I won, I'll go first again, take the pressure off of you guys. I learned my lesson that you don't just pick the Saints no matter what. Sometimes the points play a role in that. But this time I'm taking the Saints because I think they're going to cover.
I'm taking the Saints
as well. Yeah, I'll take the Saints.
Well, we could win by 3.
Yeah. I hope it's more than that, but shit. I don't care if it's just win.
That's right. Well, let's talk about how they're going to win in the Saints preview. So this is the way I'm looking at this game. Number one, right, as long as we stop the run, we're going to run away with it. Because that first Rams-Saints game earlier in the year, I think you look back at the score and the game wouldn't have been that close had we not taken our foot off the gas pedal. Remember, that was our biggest complaint. Everybody complained that the Saints had a big lead at halftime, and they started to relax, and they let the Rams back into the game. Well, in the NFC Championship game, that wouldn't happen, and I see if the Saints can duplicate that first half that they did against the Rams and do something similar and not take your foot off the gas pedal, this game's a blowout. So we match up against this team. I don't know how Dallas couldn't stop the run, and that's the only thing that makes me nervous with Rankins hurt.
I don't know. They did a good job when he went out this week, so I think they can still do a good job there. The key, you know, I know we didn't have any sacks last week, but we did affect Foles in the second half. Do that to Goff, you know, young quarterback playing on the road in this hostile environment. He's going to make mistakes. So just get to him early, and he'll throw some picks. And look, a big thing for the Rams is that they don't have Cooper Kupp, because he was the guy who really killed us, you know, during that comeback in the first game. And now without him, you know, their offense is a little different. I mean, they still got you know, weapons. They still got Cooks. They still got Robert Woods. But not having Cup, I think, is a really, really big deal to the Rams. And I, look, we stopped Gurley once. We can stop him again. And really, I want to say that first game, like, our offensive line did a tremendous job against their vaunted defensive line. So, God, they've got to be able to do that again. And give Breeze as much time as he needs to throw.
Yes.
But the good thing about not being the Cowboys is that you don't have to worry about a bunch of Rams fans being in the dome. That was one of the best things with Dallas losing.
Oh, yeah. So
because if Dallas won, look, you'd see.
They find their way to get a few
tickets. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because Saints fans would have sold their tickets to the highest bidder, which would have been Cowboys fans.
I don't know. They showed up. Saints fans might have been the highest bidder, though, too. Dude, this championship game. The last NFC championship game that the Saints were in the Dome, I remember thinking that, God, to only be able to recapture that magic. And here we are, 9 years later.
It is pretty wild that it's a freaking NFC championship game. Remember how we talk about the Patriots fans being desensitized?
Right.
Fuck that. Like, just realize, we have an NFC. This is the second biggest football game ever in the Dome.
Home field advantage matters. You can talk about the Rams, talk about Philly, talk about whatever the fuck you want to. Home field advantage means something. Over the last, since 2013, all of the Super Bowl teams, except one, have been the number one seeds.
Really?
Since 2013. The lone exception being Atlanta.
You talking about the winner or just an appearance?
No, just the participant.
The participant. Well, yeah.
Yeah. You just said Atlanta, so you knew it could be a winner.
Well, but they were the number two seed. But all the teams in the
Super Bowl.
Of course
they were number two.
Yeah, about that. But all the teams, you know, it's been a one-on-one seed versus one seed matchup since 2013. You know, and I can remember in 2009 when we were the one seed, Colts were the one seed, and that was the first time in like 8, 9, 10 years that the two number ones had met in the Super Bowl.
I think it may have even been longer than that.
I thought maybe, but I didn't want to. That would be fucking stupid. My God, you know.
But it's funny how it's changed.
You know how the NFL has changed since our last Super Bowl to now. You know where
that run of teams, the wild card teams that would just get hot and make the run through the playoffs. Last 5 years, you're not seeing it anymore.
This is also, I don't know the number, but like this is the first time in how long that the number 1-2 seeds in both conference championships. Like the 1 and 2 seeds are playing in the AFC and the 1 and 2 seeds of the NFC are playing. It's the first time that that's happened, and I was looking to see how long.
I got no idea.
I don't know. Kind of a big
deal. But I mean, look, these have been the four best teams all season.
Yeah. So if you, for this Rams game and the Saints, who do you want, who would you like to see come and do the Who Dat chant? I mean, do you get Brian Milne and Hakeem to come out together?
I'm thinking they might try to do, you know, a lot of the 09 players yesterday. You know, I had some thoughts. What if you got, like, the whole current team to go out and lead the chant?
Ooh. I like that.
Another thing would be to get the three Hall of Famers to do it.
I like that. We talked about that one last week.
Get Ricky Rope and Morton. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody tweeted out there, get the remaining Dome Patrol members, Ricky, Pat, and Vaughn.
Swilling was at the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Or, that could be good.
You get Gail? You think she would have a...
I don't think she'd do it.
But that's why it would be awesome if she did.
Yeah, it would be.
She walked out there with a Benton umbrella.
We used Gleason a few times before.
Yeah.
So it's not... I mean, not to say it wouldn't be special, but I mean, they've done it with him before. I think doing it with somebody else would get a bigger pop.
Done it with Reggie before, also.
You get a Tom Benson hologram to do it. So I don't know. I mean, whoever they get, it's going to be special. But I'm,
yeah.
I kind of like the first two ideas. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
One of those.
All right, and let's talk about motivating the team during the week. We didn't get a chance to talk about how Sean Payton decided to motivate the team last week with the wheelbarrow full of cash and the Super Bowl trophy. And I had to laugh because I was talking to Andrea about it, and somehow she brought up Atlanta or whatever. I was like, oh, Atlanta could never do that. And she was like, why not? I was like, well, they don't have a Super Bowl trophy to put in the wheelbarrow. Like, Peyton had an extra. She's like, where'd they get the Super Bowl trophy? I'm like, well, we have one.
Yeah.
Use that one.
That was great. I mean, you know, when we knew Peyton was going to have some kind of motivational trick up his sleeve. And,
I like,
you know,
that.
He's always been good at doing shit like that.
Yep. And then the locker room after the game, the club 57.
mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking it to another level.
That's right. I guess if we win the NFC Championship, they're going to have to like up that locker room game. Where they could get dancers and stuff, like strippers or something.
Do a foam party.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's going to be nuts. You know, like, it's awesome. Like, these dudes are loving it, too. Going along for the ride. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, just keep it going. Like I had Popeyes this weekend. First time I ate Popeyes, I think, since that 2013 playoff run.
Well, that's what you got to have it again next week now.
Oh, I'm definitely getting it again. I mean, whatever I did this past weekend, I'm going to try to do again this weekend.
That's right. All right. Score predictions for the game then.
So I'm hoping that, you know, this game got their slow start out the way and they do come out firing on all cylinders. I mean, God, I have a feeling it's going to be a fucking close game, but I'm going to go 38-27.
Oh, wow. Damon?
Yeah, I go 31-24.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I was going to say 38-31, but I have a feeling this defense is not going to let the Rams score 30 over 30. But you guys already took the 20s that I would have taken, so there you have it. All right, let's get into final thoughts before we wrap this up.
Final thoughts. So continuing the rewatch, I watched Thor this past weekend. The last phase one movie before I watch Avengers, since I watched Captain America kind of out of order, but Thor was a really big movie because it was the first one to really, you know, when you look at where the MCU was and where it is now with fucking aliens and other dimensions and shit, this was a pretty big gamble on their part to tell a story about, you know, God, you know, Norse gods and alien stuff. And, you know, if this movie didn't work, then I don't think you could have done, like, say, a Guardians of the Galaxy or really got Thanos involved. It was a big risk, and luckily, you know, it worked out. You did the kind of fish out of water with Thor being stripped of his powers, getting sent here. Get your first taste of Loki, who will be around again. You know, Coulson played a big part in the movie. But I think it's underrated in the fact that, you know, we take for granted now where everything is, because supposedly, you know, the next phase with some of the actors leaving, they're going more cosmic, and it wouldn't have been possible if this movie would have failed. It's just so funny, the scene, though, when he tries to go find his hammer. He walks into the pet store. I need a horse! Okay, buddy.
So Thor's always been a bit of a comedy.
Not really. I mean, not really until Ragnarok. I mean, there were some elements of comedy, but you could find that in every MCU movie.
That's true. All right, and then, yeah. Damon, final thought? And then I'll just throw out one other thing I heard on the radio that I thought bears repeating and recognizing is, if you look at the conference championship games, it's the old guard against the new kids at quarterback.
The Bucs.
Breeze and Brady, the old guard. And then on the other end of it, you have Goff and Mahomes, the young up-and-comers. That I found that to be pretty interesting, that both conferences has the best old guy of each conference against, I mean, maybe Goff's a little bit, hasn't proven to be that he could be one of the best. He's just a product of a good system right now, maybe.
I mean, he had a good year.
But Mahomes, clearly, potentially the future face of the NFL. Is what they probably like.
Well, and Breeze turns 40 tomorrow, so you can have two 40-year-olds.
So let's hope that the old Breeze still has that je ne sais quoi, which he does, and we know it. All right, that's all you throw. All the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, and then we're also on Instagram and on your podcast app. But if you don't listen there, you can listen on the old-fashioned way, which is Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadcom.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, cheesesteak donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Do my thing.